over the public supporting Indigenous people, Trudeau's fake progressivism having problematic results, and guess who we're supposed to be scared of now? Russia. Yes, Russia apparently is now influencing Canadian elections, not just American elections. So, but before we get to all that, I would like to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the unceded territory of the Coast Salish peoples, including the territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations. And rather than keeping this as a tokenistic gesture to the Indigenous peoples of Canada, as is generally done on UBC's campus, we will keep the Indigenous struggle for self-determination and justice at the forefront of our consciousness. We will begin this show and every show until there is justice for Indigenous peoples talking about colonialism. So, Ajit, did you see over the weekend that wild video coming out of Washington, D.C. at the Lincoln Memorial of those snot-nosed punks and veteran Nathan Phillips? And apparently, according to the reactionary right, there is a video that completely makes the whole thing, the whole scene, not racist. Any thoughts on that, the whole scenario? Have you checked in on it?
Yeah, I did. It was all over the internet and like the news or anywhere really. And I get it. It's like the kid didn't engage in any violence, but just that smug look on his face it's meant to be a symbolic moment in that where we're trying to understand what we're trying to get to.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt too, because I made a Facebook post because I was heated as soon as I saw that video. I woke up Saturday afternoon after a long evening of work, and I was very dismayed to see a what seemed like, well, I mean, let's be honest here, anyone wearing a Make America Great Again hat, I don't like.
Right.
I immediately don't like you. You're an idiot.
Well, you're wearing it for a reason, right?
Exactly, right? And so before anybody, like I know that there's more video to it. Of course I get that.
Right.
But for my first glance, all I needed to see was some white kid wearing a Make America Great Again hat with a horrible look on his face, looking, and then all his stupid friends looking very, very puzzled at this Indigenous man beating a drum.
Right.
Now, here's something we can say. I heard some very interesting excuses. Number one, probably the most convincing was, they're just kids and they don't know what's going on. What a great learning moment, people.
Right.
Why is it that children have no idea about the people who lived in America before Americans, quote unquote, aka white people, showed up?
Right.
Why is that? Oh yeah, because we live in a settler colonial society that needs to erase indigeneity from its existence in order to keep the colony alive.
Right.
That was the point of America, was to exterminate Indigenous people. It was to displace Indigenous people, and it is still to kill them to this very day.
Right.
We have a problem with murdered and missing Indigenous women all over Turtle Island, also known as North America. So to say that, like, oh, this kid, it wasn't what it looked like. He walked up to them and, oh my God, there was these black Israelites, these black extremists yelling at them. What does that have to do with the fact that we have groups of people, mainly whites, white settlers, wearing Make America Great Again hats, not understanding Indigenous people, history, culture, trying to tell people, other immigrants, that they can't come in there?
Right.
That is the thing I tried to shine light on in my analysis of it, and the white supremacist attitudes that underwrite not just the attitudes of those people in that situation, but also the white supremacy that underwrites the entire state of the United States of America, and the Canadian state as well.
Right.
So to the people that showed up on my Facebook feed, being like, Spencer, look at the video. It's totally different. I don't think that 10-minute extended cut video of a Vietnam veteran, Nathan Phillips, walking up to the children to separate them from the black Israelites says anything less about the fact that they don't understand indigeneity, which was very obvious.
Right.
And it was more obvious that they had a pedantic, horrible attitude towards these people whilst wearing white supremacist gear.
Right.
If you're not going to admit that Trump is a white supremacist, like, you just haven't been paying attention and you're an absolute moron. So
right.
I don't really have any words for people that don't understand that. I'm not saying, and I did see this too. Ajit, did you see all the people that were calling to dox the kids?
Something like that.
That was absolutely absurd.
Extreme,
they're children, people.
Punch a Nazi.
Punch the kids?
Yeah.
Are you stupid?
Right.
It's children. This is what the children represent, is who raised them, right?
Right, right.
People are like, oh, it's their parents raised. No. Society raised them.
Right, right.
A white supremacist
society.
People are
not being raised by their parents in a room their whole life.
Exactly. The media raised them
right.
on a diet of Indigenous hatred. Right. And horrible stereotypes about people that they didn't bother to understand. They grew up in school learning American history that completely ignores indigenous people.
If you could even call it history.
Yeah, it's American propaganda.
Right.
And that is what I want people to look at. And this is the thing that really bothered me, was mainly about that whole incident, was that it was a horrible image, and it was horrible to look at. And like that is, and the reason why it was horrible to look at is because that's what it was. It was disgusting. Mm. And then I felt as if the reactionary right shows up and like, oh, look at this extended video. There's different circumstances. And it's like, does that not change the utter fact that there's children wearing white supremacist hats, you know, confused what an indigenous person is?
Right.
Like, does that solve that problem somehow? Because that's all I was talking about. I didn't want to dox any kids. I didn't want to punch any Nazis.
No.
Anyone that's a leftist that's looking at the societal critique and trying to make a material analysis of what's going on in that moment, which is that we have these like rich whites, poor indigenous people protesting. And that's the thing too. What was the context? They were protesting against poor people getting the right to abortion. At that exact same time, disgusting piece of shit human being, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell pushed through a bill that would take away abortion rights for low income women.
Mm-hmm.
These people are picking on the lowest of the low, and they use all this media hype around them to obfuscate what's really going on behind closed doors.
Right.
Because everyone's all caught up in, oh, they walked over. They didn't walk over. Oh,
that doesn't matter.
Look at what's really happening. And that's why, you know, we try on this show to focus on not the media takes or what team we're on. We're just trying to look at it for what it is.
Right.
What this is a class society built on a stolen indigenous land, profiteering from black slave labor to build the largest war machine the world has ever seen. That is what we're looking at here. And if you really want to call yourself a lefty, you need to have that context in your mind when you think about the United States of America, when you think about Canada, when you think of imperialism in general, and the global north that extracts $3 trillion from the global south every year. All these things come into play. Right. You can't just silo off what you like and what you don't like. And if it's a different situation, that somehow absolves the reality that there is so much exploitation going on, so much injustice, and a literal genocide of indigenous people still happening to this day in both the United States, in Canada, in Central and South America. These people are being wiped out by corporations and the state itself.
Right.
It does not serve to protect. It is not there to help anybody. And as we're going to get to in our next piece over here, this is from the narwhal.ca. That's where I saw it initially, but it's actually first published on APTN News. So this headline will help segue into why we need to rethink how our society deals with Indigenous people and the truth about what the police are really here to do. Okay. The headline is RCMP Concerned Indigenous Rights Advocates Will Gain Public Support. New study. New research shows Canada's police force assesses the risk Indigenous activists and their protesters pose to the nation, not based on factors of criminality, but based on their ability to summon sympathy from the broader populace. This was published January 16th, 2019 by Justin Brake, a journalist at the Aboriginal People's Television Network. This article was originally published on APTNnews.com. So as police enforce a court injunction against two Indigenous camps standing in the way of a proposed BC pipeline, the authors of a new report say their research indicates the RCMP's action against the Wet'suwet'en land defenders will be neither fair nor objective. Jeffrey Monahan of Carleton University and Miles Howe of Queen's University outline in a new report published in the Canadian Journal of Sociology how RCMP assess individual activists according to political beliefs, personality traits, and even their ability to use social media. The report says government and RCMP documents uncovered through access to information requests indicate the police are not assessing Indigenous protests in Canada based on factors of criminality, but are more concerned about the protesters' ability to gain public support. It also shows the government's risk assessments of Indigenous protests, court injunctions initiated by private corporations against Indigenous people, and RCMP policing tactics all favor corporate interests and private property rights over Indigenous rights and title. This includes the current resistance by land defenders and hereditary chiefs to the coastal GasLink LNG pipeline slated to run through unceded Wet'suwet'en territory. unquote. So to all the listeners that have been following us for more than a couple weeks, obviously I've had some really choice words for the police, especially the RCMP, and especially colonialism writ large. And I hope this report will finally allow me to say, I told you so. Ajit, any thoughts, any reactions to learning that the RCMP are actual literal guard dogs of Capitol and not just something I say on the air?
Right. I mean, it should come as no surprise because we've brought forth tons of evidence, which kind of proves this whole point, right? But it's just finally good that, you know, a study was in the works, which kind of confirms what people already know because tons of studies have been done before.
I've read the unauthorized history of the RCMP. It's a must read. I think they redid it for the 80s, and they added a few little bits of cases from
some
that
editing,
time.
Right.
Yeah, that was good stuff. But it was published in the 70s. And what that book talked about was basically how the RCMP is used to spy on, surveil, and basically crush labor movements, social movements, and the left writ large.
Right.
And that's true because, you know, once again, we're here to the police are here not to do anything for you per se. Like, I'm sure they do have a crime division. They do deal with crimes.
Right.
But their main primary purpose and why they're, you know, so adorned in our society and the reason why people put them on a pedestal is because in reality, they are here. They are here because their tactics all favor corporate interests and private property rights, period.
Right.
And then who stands a threat to corporate interests and private property rights? The left. And guess what? The RCMP crushed them.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadian left does not exist. As we will get to later in the program, we will talk about how our fake progressive prime minister is about to descend us into fascism with all his gaslighting and really stupid stuff he says every day. And the RCMP are doing their part, and I've already done their part, by crushing the Canadian left into submission where we have really no left alternative to capitalism. It's capitalism or bust for us.
Right.
And that's part of the RCMP's doing. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're not the only ones in it, but they are instrumental in the surveillance and of the harassment of leftists.
Mm-hmm.
And now with this report, it really focuses on how the RCMP are really going after Indigenous people because now they are the new left.
Right.
They are the new resistance. They are the new people. Well, not new, obviously. They've been here since time immemorial, but they are the newest group that has gained enough momentum and support to really challenge the structures of power. And the RCMP, showing how concerned they are with dealing with Indigenous folks, tells you that they're on the cusp of something special. And if you're a leftist, you need to have this in your mind that Indigenous people are currently at the forefront of our struggle. And that is why we need to support them, especially through these really hard times where there's a militarized RCMP who are trying to knock down blockades and enforce the state onto unceded territory through violence. So let's check to this next section here. So this is intelligence compiled on Indigenous activists. The article reads, checklist developed by RCMP Director of Research and Analysis Dr. Eli Sopau is as part of the National Intelligence Coordination Center's 2014-2015 Project Sitka reveal, quote, it's not criminality the RCMP are focused on. It's the ability of that group to create and craft a counter-narrative to the one that suggests whatever the police do is across the board legitimate. Howe told APTN News in a phone interview. Howe, a former journalist with the Halifax Media Co-op, covered the Mi'kmaq resistance to fracking in New Brunswick in 2013 and was arrested during a military-style raid of land defenders near Elsipogtog. So that's quite the mouthful there. He wrote a book detailing the anti-fracking movement and the RCMP's response to Indigenous people asserting their Indigenous and treaty rights. Howe, a 2018 Vanier Scholar and PhD candidate in Queen's Department of Cultural Studies, is delving deeper into the state's policing and surveillance of Indigenous protests and movements. His collaboration with Monahan, an assistant professor of criminology, builds on a body of work developed by Monahan and Andrew Crosby, a coordinator with the Ontario Public Interest Group at Carleton University. Monahan and Crosby used access to information laws to uncover thousands of pages of documents from the RCMP, CSIS, and government agencies. So, getting thousands of documents, people, this is not a couple of dorm room lefties, you know, talking smack here. This is 100% real. They paint a picture of how government, departments, police, intelligence agencies, and private sector interests work together to compile intelligence on activists, including Indigenous land defenders, and rate them according to the risk they pose to critical infrastructures such as pipelines and to Canada's quote-unquote national interest. The authors write the efforts to present a new dynamic of policing that aims to suppress efforts by indigenous people that challenge colonial control of land and resources. They say the RCMP are not merely part of an objective or neutral policing entity, but an active supporter of extractive capitalism and settler colonialism. Ajit, any thoughts on this report and research and long history of RCMP surveilling indigenous movements?
Yeah, I mean, maybe one interesting thing is that the fact that they're dedicating so many resources to monitor a group which cannot compete in such a way. Well, obviously, that's not even their objective. The fact that they're not even a strict labor movement in any sense either. They're just, you know, maybe a climate change movement, indigenous rights movement at best. But, you know, it just shows the sheer paranoia on the right.
That's the thing. That's what's interesting. I agree they are paranoid in how they need to surveil them. But I think that they have a point. Like, they're not surveilling, you know, the Liberal Party.
No.
Then they don't have to surveil the NDP.
Right.
They don't have to. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like they're at the forefront. And that's what I want to push back against, like, liberals writ large, you know. Your little recycling thing, whatever, it's great. Don't get me wrong, your plastic straws movements are awesome, and it's great because it does have a material effect.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. However, the RCMP, CSIS, and government agencies, you know, God forbid there's more than the RCMP and CSIS, know where the problems lie. They rate them according to the risk they pose to critical infrastructure.
Right.
So no offense to the plastic straw crowd, but you are not the threat to critical infrastructure and the national interest.
It's funny that their use of coded words, critical infrastructure, like we all know what they're really talking
about.
Well,
and is it even critical? Like, it wasn't critical for thousands of years to use, you know, fossil fuels. Don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, we have a society to maintain, but like to use this totalizing language, pretend like there's nothing that we can do beyond fossil fuels, I think is really silly.
Right.
And, you know, in my opinion, the critical infrastructure is government, is healthcare and schools. But guess what? They don't mind. RCMP aren't too worried about those.
Right. Well, it's also amazing the correlation about how the RCMP's ramped up this activity ever since the government became the prime investor, right? The owner of the pipeline.
Mm-hmm. Weird.
So
what a coinkydink.
It's like, you know, they're just throwing it in your face.
It's almost like the corporate interests and the state interests are the same.
Right.
Mm. Weird.
I think they are.
And also to just go back to the whole national interest thing. So this is coded language, and Chomsky does a really great job in the book Deterring Democracy. Highly recommend. And he discusses what national interest means. And what national interest means is that national interest is the interest of the people who actually run the nation.
Right.
Who are the people that run the nation? You'd think it's the voters, because technically, you know, everyone likes to hand-wring about how important voting is and how that makes you somehow part of the running of Canada, when in reality it's purely show and they don't really give a hoot about what's going on in the ballot box. But in reality, what the national interest means is that the very powerful economic interests that actually control the Canadian economy. So basically what we're talking is banking at the top of the food chain of the problem, because they're the ones who underwrite the loans that go to these, you know, massive big energy companies and extractive industries like mining and the like. And then, of course, those industries themselves, big energy, big oil, mining, and the like. So the national interest is literally the economically powerful classes, big energy, banking, and all the like.
Their assets, right?
Because these are their actual assets. Like, this is the stuff that they own, and this is the thing that Canada, you know, unfortunately, they don't, you know, instead of building solar power or, you know, doing something useful, like having the best schools on earth, the best hospitals on earth, having the best healthcare, you know, making Canada a destination. I mean, like, you want to make some cash? Hey, take in some Americans. You know, they got lots of cash, and they want good, high quality Canadian healthcare, just like Senator Rand Paul. Paul, we wanted to make fun of him last weekend, but hey, you know, that could be in our national interest, is having the best healthcare in the world, but it isn't. And you gotta really understand why.
Right.
Because the economically powerful classes are in mining, energy, banking, also the military industrial complex, but they're not really involved in this one, but they are very important. And military industrial complex is the arms manufacturers.
And I mean, maybe even a more critical point at this is that, like, capitalism has become so lazy in that it's not innovative anymore. There's just this reliance.
It's in your face.
Right. It's just this reliance on these age-old industries, which are, like, you know, in their dying breath. Like, we don't need that technology. There's money in innovation, and where is innovation? Stuff to combat climate change and how do you say it? This is the most. This is probably the most destructive fact that these people aren't even really true capitalists. If you know, like in the sense that they're not looking to push society forward.
Absolutely
they're just trying to
not.
Retain their profit.
Because at the end of the day, what capitalism means, it's not the ideal system that of, you know, investment goes to the highest bidder and that we're all working in the same direction. In reality, what we have is dying industries that control huge amounts of infrastructure.
They can lobby the government.
Huge amounts of power. They're very important to obviously maintaining our society that runs on fossil fuels, not by our own volition, but because big Standard Oil, which is now Exxon and GM, work together to make it so that Canada, United States, and basically all of North America has a massive highway system. And that's why we use cars instead of trains. Like, I don't know, the rest of the developed world, Japan, they've got trains. You know, Europe's got trains, but what do we have? You know, we can drive on our one highway through Canada.
Right.
We're going to have to take a short break for commercials, but stick with us. We'll be back to talk more about this fascinating article. We'll be right back. Do not touch that dial.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Spencer Latu Show, broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory and CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to the Spencer Latu Show, a progressive politics show. I'm with my co-host Ajit.
What's up?
I'm your host, Spencer Latu, and we're going to pick up where we left off, and we're discussing this shocking report, RCMP, Concerned Indigenous Rights Advocates Will Gain Public Support. New study shows, new research shows Canada's police force assesses the risk Indigenous activists and protesters pose to the nation. Not based on factors of criminality, but based on their ability to summon sympathy from a broader populace. So this was written by Justin Brake, and we just finished our discussion about the surveillance compiled on Indigenous activists, and just showing that these people are really at the forefront of it, and the RCMP know it. If you want a good measuring stick of how important your lefty movement is, check how many spies are looking into you. How many cops are trying to invade you, you know?
How many undercover agents, right?
Yeah, now. How many people are trying to infiltrate your movement? And that says a lot about, you know, how powerful this stuff is. And, you know, I love talking about it every single week because, I think it's the most important topic. And clearly the pigs do, too. So, hey, I'm glad we can finally agree on one thing.
Right.
So here is a good section on RCMP propaganda. It's titled RCMP Efforts to Control the Public Narrative. Their findings, the two authors of the study, Jeffrey Monahan of Carleton University and Miles Howe of Queen's University, their findings counter a common narrative communicated by the RCMP when responding to Indigenous land defense actions, that the federal police respect people's right to protest and only act in the interest of public safety. As part of their research, Monahan and Crosby uncovered previously classified documents on the Unist'ot'en clan of the Wet'suwet'en Nation, some of whose members have built dwellings, a healing center, and have blocked industry access on their unceded lands for almost a decade. Ajit, do you buy the line that the federal police respect people's right to protest and only act in the interests of public safety?
I mean, it depends who's protesting, I guess, and like what kind of demographics are represented in that group, and I guess where it's taking place. Well, no, bottom line is no, I don't, because
what's weird is that the Yellow Vests of Canada, the most vitriolic, disgusting racists, reactionaries, just the worst kind of people, For whatever reason, their right to protest has not been spied on or infringed by the RCMP.
Not to the same level at all, no.
Like CSIS did a study of them. Don't get me wrong. Like, obviously, our intelligence agencies got to know what's going on, and they just view them as a low-risk threat.
Right.
But what's weird is that they view vitriolic racism, the most disgusting stuff coming out of their mouths about Muslims, indigenous people, and actually in a shocking turn of events, wanting to lynch Justin Trudeau, is somehow a lower. So literal calls to violence by white supremacist groups within Canada are viewed by the pigs as now not that big of a deal. But if you're an Indigenous person trying to exercise the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous People, you are somehow public enemy number one. Ajit, can you help me understand this?
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously picking and choosing. Well, I would rather say their bosses are picking and choosing where the real threats are. I mean, I don't think the yellow vests... Hey, maybe, you know, if they had calls to, I don't know, democratize the workplace, I don't know, if stretch, they would certainly move up the
ranks.
If
the yellow vests said we should nationalize the pipeline, you
right.
bet your ass the RCMP.
That's how you get the tension. I mean, I think the more obvious thing is that the Indigenous crowd is... the people, rather, is an easier target to pick on. I think I saw in there that they labeled them Aboriginal extremists. That's just the easiest way to discredit somebody is call them an extremist.
Yeah, extremist. You're extremely Aboriginal. Like, you are so from here that you're actually, you know, your body looks like you were born, like your family's lived here since time immemorial. And also, I'd like to build off the point you're making about the yellow vests and their threat level. So, threat level to the Canadian state, it has nothing to do with, you know, even calling for the death of our leader,
right.
Justin Trudeau, the prime minister, treasonous stuff. Thank right. you. Not as big of a threat as Indigenous people following the law. So just in your mind, just remember that the state's interests align not only with the corporate interests, but also to uphold white supremacy, because that is how this game keeps going.
Right.
And, you know, I don't want to diminish how horrible the situation is for everybody, but that is the level. That is what's being done to us. That's what these people are up to. The RCMP specifically, but also the establishment in general. They know what can upset the apple cart, so to speak.
Right.
They know what the threats to capitalism are, and the threats to capitalism are not reactionaries. The threat to capitalism are not conservative voters.
Right.
The threat to capitalism and the status quo is 100% Indigenous people, because if they are afforded their rights, that as the Canadian state promised them for some of them, you know, decades and centuries ago,
right.
The Canadian state's in big trouble. Mm-hmm. And if Indigenous people get to actually follow the law as laid out by the UN, the Canadian state and the interests it serves are in big trouble. So mm-hmm. that is why they are the threat that they pose. Not because they're heavily armed, which they're not. They're unarmed, as the police threw them around at that blockade a couple weeks ago. They just actually have a point.
Right.
Which is the worst thing that the establishment could have, is free thought and lawlessness. Lawfulness, I mean. So the next section, Unistoten, ideological and physical focal point of Aboriginal resistance, says government report. The article reads, the researchers shared with some of those documents with APTN, including a Government Operations Center, GOC, report that labeled one of the Unistoten leaders an Aboriginal extremist, and assessed the group based in part on the level of public support they had at the time in 2015. The document anticipated that TransCanada, the company overseeing the project, which would carry fracked natural gas from Dawson Creek, BC through Wet'suwet'en territory to Tidewater at Kitimat, might apply for an injunction in April of that year. That didn't happen, but the document reveals that the government, based on information provided by the RCMP, considered the Unistoten the, quote, ideological and physical focal point of Aboriginal resistance to resource extraction projects, end quote, and acknowledged that arresting Unistoten members had potential to trigger protests in other regions of Canada. Monahan said the document included revealing language, including reference to the pipeline as critical infrastructure and risk to the national interest resulting from a blockade or protest against the proposed TransCanada Coastal GasLink liquefied natural gas pipeline, which he said at the time they determined was medium to low risk He said that the intelligence gathering and GOC risk assessment are not to govern some kind of national security threat or stop crime, but are instead about getting this project through, making sure that the enforcement of an eventual injunction happens and that it happens with a low media cost, a low negative public opinion. We'll take a break there from this longer piece there. So we got a lot to unpack there. The RCMP have totally figured out that, you know, as dumb as cops can be, they're pretty bang on that Una Stoughton and Wet'suwet'en people, that whole area and that whole situation are the focal point of resistance,
right?
Because they stand in the way of the literal pipeline. Because the pipeline is, really wish we were doing video. And the pipeline runs right through the middle of their, like, thousands of acres territory.
Right.
So they don't mean it because they care so much, but it's right in the middle of their land, and they're resisting, and they're building structures, and they're going to cause a massive media storm, which they knew this in 2015. The RCMP, that is.
Right.
They knew all this stuff, and they knew that had potential to trigger protests in other regions of Canada. And guess what? In 2019, it happens, and it does.
Right.
So we're not as unscripted as we feel that the world is. Things can also be quite predictable.
Mm-hmm.
So and the RCMP are playing the odds just like everybody else.
All right.
The next thing I want to unpack, so the critical infrastructure, the Coastal GasLink LNG pipeline, that is liquefied natural gas. The fact that they view that as the national interest, critical infrastructure, extremely problematic. We kind of touched on that earlier. But the opposition to the Trans-Canada Coastal GasLink LNG pipeline is actually not based on criminality, but instead the government operations center report and the RCMP are more concerned about getting the project through and making sure that there is a low media cost and low negative public opinion. Why is it that the state is working to influence the people that the state is supposed to be governed by?
Right.
What is up with that, Ajit?
Well, I mean, this is the whole point that we even have this such a big media apparatus and like the CBC. And it's interesting. Like you said, this is from 2015. So there's very explicit foresight shown on the side of the RCMP in that they knew that, you know, they were going to enter a situation which was clearly going to portray them in a negative light among, I think, most sensible people. And it's kind of how we mentioned last week is that, they have to cross that threshold for them to totally be disavowed by the majority of the public, even though right now it's kind of half and half, I would say, maybe a bit more on the side of the pipeline protesters. But getting back to your original point is that the government knows it's in their interest not to have this sort of them look like the bad guys. They got to make their cause look right. And that's how they use media to spread their propaganda.
And they want the cost to be as low as possible because they know.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to get at here, that the media, the cops, these are not objective, neutral, benign, banal parts of our society.
They're actively
working
right
towards ends. What those ends are generally decided by the people who own those institutions.
Right.
And unfortunately, those institutions are not owned by the people.
No.
You know? They're not owned by, you know, independent broadcasters like the Spencer Latu show. In fact, it's state media. And then if the next competitor to that is private media. So we either have the state or we have oligarchs who own the media corporations that are the ones that are working with the government to push these things through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interlocking system.
Right.
And that's what people need to, and if you want to be, to really understand our world and why, you know, like why we need to move beyond this is that this interlocking system, we cannot separate them from capitalism. We cannot separate it from concentrated wealth and power.
Right.
These things are inextricably linked. There's nothing we can do to separate them without ultimately destroying the system itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the part that really disgusted me the most about that whole situation is worrying about public opinion.
Right.
They know how unpopular this is. They know this is wrong. They know people do not want the Trans-Canada Coastal GasLink LNG pipeline. They know people will look lowly upon this. And they do it anyway.
Right.
So who is the state serving if they're worried about low public opinion?
Right.
I need people to start thinking a lot deeper about that, because going forward, as we're going to have to take on the largest industries on Earth to save humanity, such as the military-industrial complex, one of the world's largest polluters, and then big energy, the world's largest polluter, you're going to have to know that the state is not your friend.
Right.
It's not. It is completely owned by the most economically powerful classes.
Right. Like, what do they report on? Look at that. And what don't they report on?
Exactly. Who owns what? Why are things even owned? Why are things that benefit everybody owned by a few people?
Right.
Start asking the questions, people.
Give up this whole BS narrative that the CBC has a liberal bias. It has a very clear bias, and it isn't liberal per se.
No, it's to inundate stupid progressives with all those silly...
And the culture
silly,
war,
yeah, silly culture war BS.
They're kind of for CNN, I guess, right?
They 100% are, but they are even worse because we pay for it.
Right,
so it's that much worse. I'm not saying that we necessarily gut the idea of public broadcasting,
no.
But I don't know about the billion-dollar subsidy anymore. Also, speaking of CBC, so I'm very glad you brought that up, Ajit, or if I wouldn't have forgotten. So, of course, as all good Canadians should, if you read something very controversial on anything, you know, this was extremely controversial. I mean, the RCMP are the guard dogs of capital, literally. What? I think that everybody needs to do a better job of getting extra sources. Of course, you know, I'm not going to go from the liberal bias of the narwhal. I'm going to check on CBC. So, good news, people. They had an app. They had Jeffrey Monahan as part of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 news stories regarding this. So the CBC are the largest broadcaster. Turns out they're not too big on broadcasting anything anti-RCMP. So that interlocking of the state because of the state's police arm and also the state's media, even though they are quote-unquote independent from the state and then they have their own public broadcasting mandate, just know that at the end of the day, these people will serve the interests that keep it coming along. Because without the state, there's no CBC.
Right.
Then there's people, God forbid, thinking for themselves. And then also, if you want to know why the CBC is garbage, this is the headline: why the RCMP may not be a neutral player in the Wet'suwet'en anti-pipeline dispute. First of all, may not be a neutral player. Is it really that hard to say a biased group or guard dogs of capital?
Right. Oh, hell no.
Of course you can't say that on CBC, people. It's
may not. There's
yeah,
a bit
may
of
not.
Speculation,
they may not.
Doubt.
I mean, like, you know, like 10 times out of 10, and they've been surveilling these people for years, and they actually even predicted exactly what would happen if they, you know, forced it down their throats.
Imagine
if they were
surveilling, like, I don't know, like the Catholic Church in Canada, or like,
yeah, imagine if. Well, I mean, they don't need to surveil them because guess what? You know, child pedophiles not as bad as Indigenous people in the eyes of the RCMP.
Right.
You know, why are they not in every boardroom that's extract? You know that. And what's the largest property crime in Canada? Oh, is it people stealing bikes or stealing cars or, you know, stealing wallets? Actually, it's wage theft.
Right.
So it's weird that the RCMP aren't all over the largest property crime. Oh yeah, because wage theft can only happen when you're an employer
right.
not paying your employees. Employees. Who is the most economically powerful class in Canada? The employers.
Right.
They massively outweigh the employees. So make no mistake about it. The RCMP will 100% back the hand that feeds the economic elite, the people who unfortunately are in control of our economy, which probably says why we're relying on fossil fuels and hurling ourselves into a climate change catastrophe. Ajit, question: why do you think that the RCMP view the Unist'ot'en people as the ideological and physical focal point of Aboriginal resistance to resource extraction projects?
Probably because they're a real threat to their master's end goals, in that they do possess a degree of agency in that they can exercise these traditional rights of land. So I think that label is given more so on their potential of what they can see them becoming, as opposed to what really they are right now, which is a very good movement with a lot of gaining a lot of support and attention. But I think that whole it's strange that they bring up ideology. Like, what is RCMP, a political organization?
Very political, right. As we've just discussed. They are probably the most political people because they are the ones upholding our politics today.
Right. And I think another expedient thing they could do is by discrediting this movement and then labeling it as being indicative of the whole, any sort of larger Aboriginal movement, kind of killing two birds with one stone type of thing.
I'm just waiting for them to say that this is Russia doing this somehow. Right.
I bet they have those files ready.
They do. It's Russia's interfering with our elections, and they're the Indigenous people of Canada are actually just Kremlin stooges. So unfortunately, we have to take a short break for commercials, but we'll be right back to discuss this pretty incredible stuff coming out of the Narwhal and APTN about the RCMP. So just do not touch that dial. We'll be right back with you.
It's not just rich people that own the media.
I own my 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 media.
The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members. Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
What's up, everybody? We're back. You're listening to the Spencer Latu Show on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory. I'm with my co-host, Ajit.
What's up?
And I'm your host, Spencer Latu. So hopefully in this last little bit, we can round out this pretty wild story. RCMP concerned Indigenous rights advocates will gain public support. New study. This was by Justin Brake, journalist at the Aboriginal People's Television Network. And the article I got was from the narwhal.ca, but it was originally published on APT. News. So check it out for yourself. This is a pretty incredible study that the RCMP are the literal guard dogs of capital. So back to the article. The authors said the authors of the study, Jeffrey Monahan and Miles Howe, Queen's University, said the public should anticipate police raids of the Unistoten camp or of the recently erected Gidmaton checkpoint along the same access road near Smithers, British Columbia, will be accompanied by an effort to control the public narrative around the events. Quote, "We can be sure that whatever happens, authorities are going to want to ensure that it's their spin, their version of what happens," he said. He said Indigenous sovereignty and the principle of free, prior, and informed consent have become obstacles to Canada's ambitions to produce and export fossil fuels. On November 26, Coastal GasLink applied to the BC Supreme Court for injunctive relief, arguing that if further prevented by the Unistoten from doing the necessary work, the LNG project could suffer irreparable harm. BC Supreme Court Justice Marguerite Church approved the injunction application in mid-December. Days later, members of the Gidmaton clan of the Wet'suwet'en Nation set up an access point in their own territory about 20 kilometers down the same road as the Unistoten camp. The court injunction was then amended to include that blockade as well. On Monday, January 7th, RCMP conducted an armed raid of the Gidmaton checkpoint, arresting 14 individuals. Another raid on the Unistoten checkpoint is expected to take place. The Unistoten and Gidmaton, with the support of their hereditary chiefs, maintain the band council system created under Canada's Indian Act, only has jurisdiction over reserve lands, not the 22,000 square kilometers of unceded Wet'suwet'en territory. They have repeatedly referred to the 1997 Supreme Court of Canada Delgamuukw decision, which acknowledges their traditional governance system and the names of hereditary leaders who now oppose the LNG pipeline. The Unistoten began constructing their camp in 2010 and in recent years have brought a healing center to fruition where they use traditional medicines and land-based practices to heal members of their nation from addiction and other health issues rooted in the traumas of residential schools and colonization. Wow, Ajit, can you believe these evil monsters are trying to solve their own problems even though the Canadian state has abandoned them and is even trying to force a pipeline down their throats? What bad people.
Right.
I don't know. The whole public narrative shaping stuff, I've unfortunately gone on a media criticism kick. Great podcast, Citations Needed. Check it out, people. It's probably the best one for media criticism out there. I have never been more skeptical of anything in my life after listening to that podcast. So now when I peruse Facebook from time to time, I don't know if you've noticed this, Ajit, but I am getting nonstop corporate propaganda about pipelines. Right. I see constant big energy ads all over social media, and I see constant Twitter fingers turning to trigger fingers on those comment sections. And all I can say is that if that is not big energy working to really change public perception and really shape the narrative by creating their own versions of, you know, content by advertising it to everybody's feed, thus forcing everyone into this horrible conversation where they have to listen to these talking heads and faceless, nameless people, right, you know, spread corporate talking points. That is what I feel like is one half of this thing, which is the social media aspect, which I can speak to. Ajit, have you had any experience with seeing lots of social media ads for big energy?
I've certainly seen them, and they're not very...
Have you seen them on TV?
I'm not on TV that much recently, but
Keep Alberta working.
Right.
Keep BC working.
I've clearly seen that on YouTube, and like, of course, you gotta go to the opposite end of when you're spreading these messages. You can't say keep the corporations rich. No, it's about jobs.
It's all about you, the people who will be taking the most dangerous jobs on earth, because these pipeline jobs are extremely dangerous. Many people die. It's far more dangerous than being a cop. Mm-hmm. So all these pigs that run around that you're supposed to feel bad for, they are literally less likely to die than taxi drivers, warehouse workers, ironically enough, pipeline workers.
All right.
And you know who's even safer than cops? The CEOs that boss them around. So as far as the workers are, my heart is always with the workers. I do not want to get anyone, I don't, and no leftist ever wants to take money out of any other worker's pocket. That is not what we're here for. But what we don't want and what we don't want to see is these resource extraction projects shoved down the throats of Indigenous people who don't even want them.
Right.
And on top of that, we don't want to see jobs and corporations. We don't want to see work being taken by the corporation and forcing workers who have no other options to put themselves in harm's way just so that corporate CEOs can squeeze out another buck or two.
Right.
Because that's, at the end of the day, people, this pipeline project benefiting absolutely zero of us.
Mm-hmm.
We are not getting the dividends. If the conversation shifted to, hey, it's a nationalized pipeline, you know, we all get to share in the profits, then maybe we can discuss how good natural gas is for the environment. But until then, I want no part of this conversation, because I do not want to see another dollar go into TransCanada's pocket.
Right. The only minimal argument that they got is maybe 10 years down the road or 5 years down the road, we'll have lower gas prices, if even that. And I'm sure by that point,
absolutely not,
they'll stick to some other excuse, right? Yeah.
Oh, it'll be a carbon tax and it's everyone's fault for driving cars, even though you made us drive cars to go to jobs that we don't want to go to. But that's besides the point. But back to the public narrative thing. So we can be the quote was, we can be sure that whatever happens, authorities are going to want to ensure that it's their spin, their version of what happens. And to that point, at this checkpoint violence that happened a couple weeks ago, that was really shocking, really horrible to see, to watch the militarized pigs go and push unarmed Indigenous people off their land and out of the way so that they can build a pipeline. These same people, the RCMP had an anti-media zone. So there was no media around. There was just that one photographer and videographer taking video because everyone else was banned. They shut down the cell service for people. They shut down Wi-Fi for people. The journalists couldn't communicate out. And that's because at the end of the day, if you knew the truth, which I mean, you know, you would think that cops who are like, oh, it's such a hard job, I want to see you know what it's like to be a cop for a day.
Right.
All those bullshit articles and, you know, stupid local news stories of like, wow, it's so hard to be a cop. Well, weird, because you shut off the cameras as soon as you're doing something that I'm interested in.
Right.
Oh yeah, because if you let people see how you guys are disgusting and you don't care about Indigenous people, you don't care about the people you're supposed to quote unquote protect and serve, but you're really just quote unquote protecting and serving the interests of capital.
Right.
You're helping the big energy companies. You're helping them build more pipelines that will cause, I don't know, the devastation of our entire environment, and then we're all dead and like, I don't know, whenever climate change can wipe us out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they... We're just prolonging.
Who are you protecting and serving? Who are you protecting and serving? I would love to have a cop on this show just to talk about this kind of stuff, but it would probably end up
And they're working class themselves, which is the saddest part. Like,
they're class traitors. They're being duped. They're class traitors. Right. Yeah, they're absolute dupes. They're bootlickers. They're people who would rather who uphold the status quo for a cushy job, a pension, and they don't care about the rest of us. Right. Like, I'm glad you guys are getting yours, okay? I'm glad you're getting yours, but just know that we're all going to have to deal with climate change too.
Right.
And guess what? When they run out of pension money, guess who's not going to have a pension either? You you dummies.
Yeah.
So that you did this to yourself.
Employee, so you know you're screwed.
Yeah, wait until we get the Canadian government shut down. So yeah, the good work, cops. You guys really thought that one through, but they never really go after critical thinkers. So the whole injunction episode, that was all kinds of level disgusting. Supreme Court Justice Marguerite Church, you are now sent to the gulag for that. Do not ever help the cops and the corporations, because you are not helping the people. And that was a really horrible decision, Justice Marguerite Church. On top of that, we're dealing with the Delgamuukw decision. So on top of that, we have, on top of all this drama, we actually do have legal precedent in this situation. There are actual people that know better. There are people that have seen this all before, and it's already been through our court system. So the fact that there's even a debate about this, about this whole debacle, and knowing that Canada just passed the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous People, just shows you how slanted and how twisted the game is, and how our society benefits merely the most economically powerful people. It does not give a hoot about any worker, about anyone struggling. And you want to know how many people are struggling? This number will shock you. How many people in our society are struggling? CBC recently reported that almost half our population is on the brink.
I saw that. Yeah, it was like 41% of Canadians are like $200 away from insolvency.
Yeah, this is the poll here. Okay, 46% of Canadians, $200 or less away from financial insolvency. $200, $200.
That's a textbook here.
$200. Yeah, we are one UBC textbook away from being financially insolvent. More than half of respondents say they're feeling the pinch of higher interest rates. So we are talking about, we're dealing with a levels of social inequality unbefore seen. This is worse than the medieval ages.
Right. Well, what does that interest rate comment tell you? That people don't have savings, but they're living on debt, which is even more pathetic.
Yeah.
Not on them, but, you know, of the
how
situation.
We keep this going, that we can't even give people real money because the bankers, the big energy
people. Who determines interest rates? People who are never going to be in a position to be affected by them in the sort of meaningful ways that these working class people are.
And guess what? Chase Bank told us 2020, or probably sooner, maybe even this year, we're going to see a massive financial recession.
Right.
One
it's coming.
Far worse than 2008,
right.
People.
It's awesome how they keep hinting. This is the longest recovery on record. Like, what?
Yeah, well,
First of all, those terms are not well defined.
Yeah, if recovery you mean by billions of dollars of bailouts to Wall Street, then yeah, we recovered real well, because a lot of people lost their homes, a lot of people lost their businesses, a lot of people are doing far worse than ever before, and 46% of people are $200 away or less from hitting the brink. So when these people, I appreciate TransCanada preying on Canada and Canadians who know that the white working class needs those oil jobs. I get it, people. I get it. You need the money. Right. Alberta will go under because you wasted the trillions of dollars you've already extracted out of the ground, and now you're just playing catch-up. But guess what? You didn't waste the money. It all got stolen from you. And the people who are stealing it from you are the oligarchs. It's the people that own the pipelines, that own your labor, that own our country. The enemy's not outside. The enemy's not Russia. That I'm so happy we didn't get started on that article, because that was just next level disgusting. Because there's the Canadian Brigadier General saying that all of NATO is should be afraid of Russian hacking of elections. How about we talk about the fact that TransCanada basically writes Canadian domestic policy?
Right.
What about the interference by TransCanada?
Talking about people who don't have your interests at heart. They're right here in the country.
They're here. Don't worry. We don't have to start a new Red Scare to find an enemy. Trust me, I can point you right to one. It's all these big boardrooms in downtown Vancouver.
Just getting tired, that argument.
I'm sick of it. Well, and then, well, of course, because, you know, as we're about to, you know, our economy is about to fall through the floor, social unrest is about to happen. Of course, you got to start pretending that the enemy is outside, that it's somehow not the people that run our, that it's somehow the people that are in charge are not at all at fault, and it's just all Russians.
It's funny.
Did Russia make 46% of Canadians 200 or less away from financial insolvency? Actually, I think it was the banks.
It's funny, that old Cold War communist argument that, you know, their farms are unproductive, but we've been milking this Russia cow for for 60 years?
More. Yeah, well, the well, honestly, since the first Red Scare was 1919, so...
Oh, there you go.
Know, there you go. 100 years of Red Scare, people.
Happy anniversary.
And the only reason we bring up Russia, because I know Russia has very little to do with our pipeline, but what we're talking about here is we're dealing with an economic situation where most Canadians are in dire straits. We're dealing with corporations that will exploit the dire situation that everyone's in to promise quote unquote jobs, whatever that means. They never really tend to get into that, but people are so desperate that they don't care. They'll vote against their interests just to not to break and just to have to keep the Canadian dream alive. And then the state, you know, quick as we've just shown you, the RCMP are literally doing the bidding of oil and gas companies, and they're surveilling Indigenous people and protesters, not based on the crimes they're committing, but in their ability to block the pipeline.
Right.
That is what is most important to these people. And then the state, rather than focusing on the fact that the RCMP are, I don't know, not protecting and serving the people, but only protecting and serving capital, they'll just blame it on some other country like Russia. And before we all get to that, you know, you heard it here first on the Spencer Latu Show. That's the playbook, people.
Right.
And I'm sad we didn't get to this article. We don't have time to get into it at all, but it's from the tie.ca, and it's a really brilliant opinion piece. It's by Tristan Hughes, freelance writer from Vancouver. How Trudeau is helping Canada's radical right flourish. And, you know, we only have a few minutes, so I just want to touch on how he's doing it. When you pretend to have a solution to a problem that everybody needs... Everybody is hurting Justin Trudeau. 46% of Canadians are $200 away or less from financial insolvency. And you tell them that that you have a solution to them, and you show up empty-handed, they're going to look for another solution.
All right, right.
And what happens when people go out, give up on the status quo? They either go left or right. We looked at the United States. Obama promised people hope and change, completely gave up
that
on that
gave
promise.
Us Trump, right?
Exactly. And now what do we see here? We have Maxime Bernier saying crazy stuff like make Canada great again. We've got people like Doug Ford already in power.
Right.
We've got people like Jason Kenney in Alberta with his crazy United Conservative Party. And if you don't see what's going to happen in the next boom, economic recession hits, boom, climate change gets worse. Who are people going to go to? Do we even have a left in Canada?
No.
The furthest left we have is the NDP, and they were pissed off that we didn't give enough sanctions to Russia.
Right.
They're more hawkish than the liberals. We got nothing, people, and this is why we need to start building our own, you know, society from the ground up. You know, this is a good time to start talking to your friends about, hey, what are we going to do when climate change destroys our society?
Right.
Because no one in power cares. No one's going to do anything about it. In fact, they're mad at the people who are trying to do something about it.
Right. They got enough states.
That's how up and down, up is down, down and up this whole situation is. And as Chomsky said, we have the lowest, the lowliest of the low in our social hierarchy, the most downtrodden people, the people who are currently going through a genocide, fighting on our behalf while we have the most privileged, resource-rich people accelerating our demise.
Right.
And it's about time that we deal with these contradictions. It's about time that we deal with these societal problems now rather than later.
Absolutely.
Ajit, any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the onus falls on us, the people who live in enough degree of comfort where we have the ability to exercise our agency. Just recognize your position in the world. You know, you're not benefiting. Look, even if you're rich, you're not going to benefit either way off of climate change. Like, that's just a ridiculous statement in and of itself, right? So why not mobilize? You know, your whatever small business you own is not going to be affected positively by the road we're heading down. So, you know, this any argument pro-pipeline in the sense that it's pro-corporate, it's not benefiting 99% of us.
No, it really is not. And it is not in your best interest. And you're not, there's no group of the status quo that's going to help you out, people. So
right. This
is, and I'm not trying to just be a Debbie Downer here. Okay, this isn't just me being...
Well, we're going to hammer this climate change nail climate catastrophe.
Yeah, climate catastrophe. Climate's already changed.
Right.
The change is gone.
We're past that. We're past that threshold.
20 years ago. Yeah, 20 years ago. That was bad. This is the time to have these really hard conversations of how to deal with this kind of stuff, people. And I would push for somebody to, you know, if you're listening out there, please just reach out to a friend. Ask them, be like, hey, have you checked in on the fact that the RCMP are literally guard dogs of capital? Have you been seeing this news that climate change is going to wipe us out and nobody cares? Those are some good conversation starters. They work really great at parties. I can attest to that. Hopefully you enjoyed our program this evening. We are a progressive politics show. I'm Spencer Latu, and I'm with my co-host Ajit. We are also on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. If you want to check us out, we've got quite the backlog of very hot takes, and you can hear more cop bashing over there. We'll be back every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Talking about progressive politics and how to build a better world and hopefully survive this climate catastrophe. We're going to have some more awesome programming from CITR right after we're done. It's the Stranded Show playing Australian rock music. It's quite fantastic. I highly recommend sticking around for that. So thank you for listening.
You're listening to CITR 101.9. Broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, think I'm Queen Ansep, Hydra, Nisiyam, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya.